Thomas.
You seem particularly triggered right now. Can you tell me what happened?
I've had dreams that weren't just dreams. Am I crazy?
We don't use that word in here.
Why you're still fighting and why you will never give up.
You don't know me.
No?
All these years to be going back to where it all started, back to the Matrix.
You're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I am your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Joining me are the dogs. Yes, the dogs, the ones that bark, the annoying ones. They are hungry, so I have to hurry, okay? If they had a gun, they would put it to my head. So this is going to be a quick show. We're going to talk about the Matrix Resurrections trailer. I'm also going to hit the shout-outs for my supporters out there on the Patreon and in the VIP section. So without further ado, we're keeping housekeeping at a minimum. Let's get into it, right? I posted a reaction video on my Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe, because I'm going to also post some screenshots that I will pull from the trailer to support the ideas that we are discussing. I dropped the video on there. Several great comments, mostly about how great my shoulders look. Thank you. It's not easy when you're 41 to do CrossFit with these maniacs. But I joke. You know what it is? It's hot. It's hot as hell in Utah. It's like, damn, 100 degrees still. And I refuse to turn the air conditioner on because I am alkaline OG granola woke. So I just do my work with no shirt. And that's my life now. Now, if you can't tell, the dogs are barking. They're getting angrier by the minute. So let's keep it moving. Posted the thing. You guys had some comments. I want to address them because I didn't feel like typing it all out. So I'm going to do one better. I'm going to do a whole podcast on it. And we're going to hit the shout out. So let's start with the beginning of the trailer. It shows us some what appears to be quick flashback stuff, which is what I thought when I watched it on the reaction video. I thought it was flashbacks. Turns out I was wrong. When you pause it and take it frame by frame, you'll notice it appears to be stuff that's going to be in the new movie. You hear references to Thomas, not Neo, because Keanu Reeves' character in when he's in the Matrix is Thomas, but when he's outside of the Matrix, when he's Mr. Badass Action Hero, he is Neo. Which, if you follow the religious allegories of the films, Thomas is akin to Doubting Thomas. He doubts the nature of reality through the savior figure of Morpheus. I mean, there's a million ways you could look at this film from a religious, spiritual standpoint. And yes, to answer your question, I will be doing film analysis on Matrix 1, 2, and 3. What has taken me so long is that these are my most favorite movies of all time. And to do them justice with a breakdown, I believe it's going to be a lot of work. I've actually started one, and now I have to restart it again. I've got a whole book on the philosophies of the Matrix I would like to reread. I don't know if I'll have time, because I was really into this stuff in the 2000s. I was starting college. I took an intro to philosophy course at the same time that I was watching the Matrix Revolutions. And it was very interesting to me. This is before I was fully red-pilled. Talking like 2003, 2004, or something like that. So in the trailer, getting back to the trailer, Doubting Thomas, we see him through the flashes. If you pause through them, he's being resurrected by the machines post-events of Matrix Revolutions, because you'll notice he's got the burned-out eye sockets, just like in the third and supposedly final film of the trilogy. And then we catch up to current days, and you'll also notice a handshake in a very strange sort of way. More to come on the handshake action. But you'll see the snapping of the fingers. Neil Patrick Harris plays a therapist, and he snaps his fingers in the weirdest sort of way possible. Seriously, you have to go look at my Instagram for this show where I'll put these images. You'll know what I'm talking about when you look at it. Look at his fingers. Look at his fingers he's using the snap with. Is he an alien? I think so. But he wakes up. Neo is waking up. Or Thomas, I should say. He's waking up. He tells the therapist, he's like, look, I think I'm crazy. And behind the therapist, you see the butterflies. The monarch butterflies, of course. Of Project Monarch. That's the symbolism of MKUltra. Now, does that mean Thomas or Neo went through an MKUltra procedure? I don't know. I think it's more likely the Lana Wachowski, is into conspiracy stuff. I think she would be familiar with those ideas, and she planted those symbols in there. Now, some people say, well, the film is set in San Francisco, which is one of the key locations of Project Monarch, MK Ultra stuff, and they would be right. If you read Project Chaos, or just Chaos, Tom O'Neill's book about Charles Manson, you will confirm that he was also one of these victims of where they were messing around with people's minds in the 60s. Then we see Neo, he's in the bathtub, and you already know the whole spiel on the bathtub. If you don't, I will give you the very basics here. I've said it a million times. Whitney Houston dies in the bathtub. Her daughter, Bobby Christina, dies in the bathtub. Even though Bobby Christina was terrified of bathtubs. What does this all mean? Well, the reality of it is, if you look at the practices of Wicca and some of the occult ideas of the bathtub, they call it the cleansing ritual for the goddess. It's also referred to as the passageway to another dimension, to another realm, through the bathtub. As you see in the film Inception, and not so ironically in Constantine, also starring Keanu Reeves. And here he is, back in the bathtub, about to cross over. And we see him pouring out the blue pills in the sink. I'm led to believe that this Thomas guy stuck in the Matrix is on a prescription that the therapist give him. And those prescriptions are literally blue pills. Just like the first Matrix, when Morpheus offers Neo the red and blue pill. And the red pill is chosen, and he breaks out of the Matrix. He wakes up. He's enlightened. The red pill symbolizes the blood of Christ, some would say. And don't listen to Jay-Z. Look. Jay-Z had some great rap music in the 90s and even in the early 2000s. But he's not a guy to be trusted, I think. He wore a shirt that said, "Do what thou wilt," and only a guy who adhered to Aleister Crowley would know what that meant. But he had a... Why am I talking about Jay-Z? He had a song, and he... I don't remember what song it is. I think it was one with Pharrell, and he talks about the red or green pill. Choose the red or green pill. It drove me nuts from the day I heard it. I said, no! The red and the blue pill. Right? He's an idiot. He's a shill. Anyhow. So he's pouring out the blue pills. And then we see the zoom in of the all-seeing eye. Yes. Referring to the evolution of consciousness. It's the fingerprint of the Illuminati. It's the coded language that one's all-seeing eye is about to be woken. Neo is about to get woke. He's about to stay woke. It's the pineal gland, the third eye, whatever you want to call this thing. It's what they're showing you on the trailer. He gazes into the mirror, the looking glass, and they cue up the music. Jefferson Airplane's 1967 hit, White Rabbit. Great song. Telling you literally about the White Rabbit. And the Alice in Wonderland shows up in the trailer, which I wrote a whole book about Alice in Wonderland, in case you didn't know. There's a couple ways you can get it. You can get it for free if you go to gumroad.com/IsaacW, link in the show notes as always. Or you can go to the same place and get a copy of Alice in Rocky Horror Land, which is a compilation book of four mini books that I wrote, one of which includes Alice in Wonderland. You can buy the signed copy on Gumroad and I will sign it. And if you've already bought that book, you know how I sign it. That's a little secret, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And it's a line from this song. Or you can get the book on Amazon or Audible. All right, there we go. Sorry. Had to pitch my books. A lot of work goes into those books. But I have a whole thing breaking down the whole idea of Alice in Wonderland, which is important, and it's reflected in this trailer. It's about questioning the nature of reality. And Alice does this. She goes through the looking glass in the sequel, in the second book. And then we see Trinity. I guess she gets dug up from the dead too. And I think this is because they're going back in time to the 60s, I'm going to guess. Anyway, we see Trinity and Neo or Thomas meeting for what seems to be the first time. And they shake their hand in the same odd fashion. And the commenters on Instagram were right. There's something to that handshake. I didn't catch that on the trailer when I watched it for the reaction video. I had to frame by frame it. And they are shaking their hand in the Freemasonic Yakin, referring to Boaz and Yakin, the twin pillars of Freemasonry. It's the grip of the fellow craft. And specifically, if you know, you can look at the image I'll post on there. Specifically, it calls for the initiates to press the top of the thumb against the second knuckle. And again, to go back to my blue pill days, I was in the military with a guy who was a Freemason. And he told me there was a secret handshake. And I was like, oh, really? And I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know what a Freemason was. He's like, yeah, this is a brotherhood, and I can tell you if someone's in or not just by shaking their hand. I said, really? And he grabbed some dude. He said, hey, partner, what's up? And he shook his hand. And he goes, see, that guy's not a Mason, I can tell you right now. And I said, well, what was it? And he wouldn't tell me. And this is 2001. This is before, you know, this is back when you only went on the internet to steal music and look at porn. And maybe check email. That was it. Whereas nowadays, you just pull out your phone and you're there. Simpler times. And there's also the Lion Paul handshake, which is a bit more obvious. But anyway, why does this matter in the Matrix? Who cares? Well, I'll tell you who cares. There's this guy named Jonathan Copel who wrote an article I read about this exact subject. And I'm going to share with you what he wrote because it fits together real nice. Because you got to understand the background of conspiracy theories and Freemasons. The idea is that the Freemasons are secretly Gnostics and they're secretly Luciferians. And they teach their initiates all these secret truths about all that. Yada, yada, yada. Another story for another time. I got hungry dogs waiting on me. Now, let's read Jonathan Copel. He wrote, "In Freemasonry, the Fellowcraft degree represents the transition from youth to adulthood whereby lessons, skills, and moral character are further refined to prepare for the tasks and challenges ahead." Now, he's talking about the Fellowcraft degree, which is the handshake you learn, the Joaquin handshake of the Fellowcraft, okay? The exact, basically what we're saying is Neo and Trinity are both initiates to the level of the Fellowcraft in Freemasonry. That's the argument here, okay? And Mr. Copel says, "Each degree is taught through unique working tools. In the Entered Apprentice degree," he says EA, but I know what he's talking about, Entered Apprentice degree, "the working tools are the 24-inch gauge and common gavel, which represent the discipline and initial transformation of individuals as they progress through life in maturity and in their chosen profession. For the Fellowcraft," that's the one we're talking about right now with the handshake, "for the Fellowcraft, the lessons of the degree are represented by the square, level, and plumb. As Albert Mackey summarized," Albert Mackey's a guy who wrote a whole encyclopedia about with the definitions of Freemasonry. "As Albert Mackey summarized, the plumb is an instrument made use of by operative masons to raise perpendiculars." When he says operative masons, he's talking about literal Freemasons that build buildings, as opposed to speculative Freemasons, which are the people that get into all this esoteric Luciferian stuff, right? All this bizarre mumbo jumbo. So he's talking about the tools they used back in the day when they built real things. The plumb, you heard that. "The square to square their work, and the level to lay horizontals. But we, as free and accepted masons, are taught to make use of them for more noble and glorious purposes. Whereas the Entered Apprentice focuses on the fundamentals of Freemasonry, the Fellowcraft Mason learns that every transition or transformation in life requires a greater degree of commitment and refinement in one's character, conduct, and responsibilities." So, what we're saying is that Neo, Thomas, is transitioning and transforming to a higher degree of commitment, a refinement in his character and his responsibilities. He is being pushed back into the Matrix as the next savior. He has to do it again. Or something like that. We don't know. It's just a trailer. But it all makes sense because go to that picture of Neil Patrick Harris snapping his fingers in the most alien way possible and check out his ring. Check out his ring and you tell me what's on that ring. Is it or is it not a big gaudy square? Or is it just a ring? Maybe I'm looking into it too deep. You tell me. Leave a comment on the Instagram and I'll read it. Hey everybody, it's your host, Isaac Weishaupt, and I've got a special announcement. It is a new month, and you know what that means. It's time to do our shout-outs. What's a shout-out, you may ask? Well, you see, I've had a troubled, sordid past with this field of research. Poor me. I've got a sob story. I wrote about it on IlluminatiWatcher.com if you want to read all about it in the VIP section. Anyhow, long story short, I have three support systems. And two of those support systems have the option for the folks that want to go above and beyond and hit tier 2, 3, or 4. And they're OG granola wokesters and up. And they get a monthly shout out. That's what I do. And we all enjoy them. So without further ado, let's go. Let's start with the Patreon, folks. Patreon's always on and popping. Let's go down the list. And again, if I get your name wrong, send me a message. If I forgot your name or I missed it, send me a message. I say first name, last initial, for your protection. Because this realm of trutherdom is full of nuts. Alright, let's get into it. We'll start with possibly the greatest Patreon name I've ever seen. Lieutenant Jerkoff, Faith by Reason, Brandon D, Holly A. I can't even read this one. Ryan C. Sorry, I think it's not your fault. It's probably the formatting of the spreadsheet. Todd, Sammy, and Amy, Antonio, Genevieve, Jay St. Murder in the house, Marisa, Aubrey T, Vari, Amy M, Taryn, Kirby G, Liz H, Rusty Shacklesford. You know that guy from King of the Hill, I guess. I don't know. Everyone loves that name. I got many Rusty Shacklefords in my life. There are many like it, but this one is mine. Premier 65, Christy W, Vermont Hip Hop Collective, Joe Sauce, Charles, Daniel G. Man, some of these names have been on the tier two for a long time. Thank you very much. Zach R, Tyler Durton, Russell Dragon, Tanya O, Marsha W, Jacob R, Alan C, Sam I Am, Phil Goodrich Art, what's up, Phil? Out there surfing, doing his thing. Brooke, Tyler B, Sorcha, Betty, Thomas E, P, Mariah, Frankie L, Roxy, Brian, Ashton, Heather, Allie W, Renee G, Spry U, what's up, man? Joe Nips in the house still. Brandon L. Sorry, that's Brandon Lord. I forgot. I always have to double check. I'm like, I think I'm allowed to say his last name. Okay, Brian B, Yak, M. Gibb, Darcy D, L. Mac, Prophet 7, Jade, Pragmatic Chick, Robert Z, William B, Alexandria H, Skinny Fresh, what's up? JT, Katie G, Dave W, Sarah B, Brandon C, Jennifer, Barry W, Crystal D, Taylor C, Kara, John P. Oh, now we're in the tier four territory. This is Woke Levels on Fleek, and as you know, we used to do conspiracy considerations. Due to my scheduling conflicts and me not giving you the time and energy you deserve, I had to switch that up. And for tier four, I don't know how I'm going to do this yet. I'm an idiot. I tell you things and then I got to figure it out after the fact. I'm going to do sort of a special shout out for my tier four folks. And it just depends. I might take one episode and sort of like give you a specialized shout out on their own. Aside from the bulk shout outs, maybe you've got like a website or a book you want people to read. I'll say, what's his name says to read this book. I don't know yet. I'm still figuring it out. I've sent you messages, tier four folks. Hit me up if you got any ideas or particular ideas of what you want me to go with that. Anyway, we're in the tier four category here. John P, Wally Gorbachev, you know him, you love him. Joshua V, Cheryl S, Big Fezzik, and Big Fezzik still the reigning champ, by the way. Shout out. And then Jennifer B, she is a tier two. We were working on the behind the scenes trying to get that figured out. We got it figured out. Let me know if you got any problems, Jennifer. And that's all the Patreon folks. Now, that's not it, though. That's not it. We got the VIP section, too. Let's see what's cracking in the VIP. Leslie B, Winston S, Papa Dom, Matthew K. Matthew K, oh, my man. I just made you a bunch of books over there. Good day. Alan R, Chris and Hunter R, Timothy S, Crystal M, Marisa, we got some double dippers in the house. Shout out, Marisa. Joe F, Blake B, and J-Po, one of the truest OGs. Moving over to tier three, the Alkaline OG Granola Wokesters. Cheryl, what's up, Cheryl? How you been? I haven't seen you in a minute on the live streams. I know you're busy. I'm just messing with you. Jason S, James B, the Jamsy in the house. Brandon C, Darren M. Then finally, last but definitely not least, there's some tier four folks over in the VIP too. We got John G, Jason F, and the one, the only, Jordan, Southside Tarot. So there you go. That's all the shout outs. Thank you for your support, everybody. I mean, thank you for everyone listening, right? First off, we got listeners. Appreciate you, free feed or not. Tier one folks, I appreciate you. In fact, I updated, Post Malone's calling me. I updated my tiers on Patreon and VIP, and now all the tiers are going to be part of the monthly live stream that I do. I found that, when I was shuffling around the tier four things, I added that. But anyways, you probably saw the video on my Instagram talking about it. You can check it out if you want more details on that. Thank you for your support, everyone listening, and all the supporters on the Patreon, VIP, and the Rockfin folks. Shout out, Rockfin. Okay, let's get back to the show. Next, we see Thomas Neal in the elevator, and everyone's staring at their phone like a bunch of mouth breathers, numbed out. But not Neo. He's way too woke for that nonsense. And someone asked, what's up with the devil thing? Because I mentioned it in the reaction video. I say, well, this is symbolic of the devil. And you look to celebrities in pop culture, and they tell you this. I don't know the actual occult origin reference to this thing, because elevators obviously are a more recent phenomenon. But Prince wrote a song, and he said the elevator won't break us down, and J.R. Reed confirmed. There's a video, which I have. I used to have it until I got banned on my YouTube, where he confirmed that Prince was, in fact, talking about the devil. Now, how curious is it that Prince would die in front of the elevator in his home? Very weird. See my weird deaths of celebrities, Whitney Houston, Bobby Christina, both dying in the bathtub. Even though Bobby Christina's friend said she was terrified of bathtubs, she would never get into it. And see how Kanye had a mental breakdown after Kim Kardashian was put into a bathtub in Paris. Confirmed by one of the robbers who wrote a whole book about it. And when it happened, I got one news reference source that said they put her in a bathtub. Everyone else just said they tied her up. But one reference said put her in a bathtub, and I said, holy crap, that's weird. Then years later, one of the guys involved with it wrote a book and confirmed they put her in the bathtub. That's why Kanye went crazy, because he knew they were for real about it. They were going to do an Illuminate confirm on old girl. Old bubble butt. Bubble butt. Where were we? Okay, yeah. So then we've got, there's a whole film called The Devil about people stuck in an elevator. Then The Weeknd, if you haven't heard my breakdown of The Weeknd's Super Bowl performance, you really have to listen to that. I was dropping heat on that one. And in that, he gets possessed by the devil in the elevator in the sequence of videos up to the Super Bowl. On a more basic level, as one commenter said, as above, so below, could be the symbolism here. The elevator goes above and below. I dig it. I can get behind that. Hermetic axiom, cosmos, the macro connected to the micro, could be. Could be. Next, we confirm, as if we didn't know it already, that Alice in Wonderland plays a role in the movie trailer when we see the book. And we later see a girl with the tattoo of the rabbit, just like in the first Matrix film. Which we also see the black cat, which was in the first Matrix film, which was the point where he gets the deja vu, if you remember, if you recall. Huh? Huh? Then we see what appears to be the Oracle, but she's much younger. It looks like the 1960s, which leads me to believe that there's a setting in the 1960s of this film. And look, if I'm a Matrix nerd, but I haven't looked anything up on this film, nothing. I don't want to know. I don't want it to ruin my experience of the movie. The only thing I looked up was the Morpheus stuff, and that is it. Maybe they've talked about this, and maybe it's in the 60s. Maybe I'm guessing and I'm wrong. I don't know. I'm just telling you what I know, and I'm telling you, I didn't even want to watch the trailer. That's how much love I have in my heart for The Matrix. I don't want to ruin any little bit of this for me, but I did it for you. I did it for you because I knew we had to talk about it. So we see what I guess is to be the 60s. We see what I guess to be a young form of Morpheus. I didn't get it. When I did the reaction video, I said, what the hell? Where's Lawrence Fishburne? Who's this guy? But now I think I get it. And commenter Houdini XIII mentioned this idea too. It's like a younger thing. I think they're going back to the 60s. Don't ask me. I don't know. But you see Morpheus 2.0 here giving Neo the red pill. Here we go again. And then he follows the girl with the tattoo of the rabbit. A parallel to Matrix 1. Could it be in Matrix Revolutions, when the architect tells Neo that he's the anomaly that has to keep being reinserted in to reboot the whole process? I mean, that's kind of how it ended, right? We didn't know if it got rebooted or what. And look, I haven't watched the movie in at least 10 years. I got to rewatch it. maybe it's more obvious, but I remember walking away from it thinking that. And shout out to Ryan on the Instagram who pointed this this idea out about Morpheus. Because one claim about Morpheus is that after the third film in the trilogy, Matrix Revolutions, the one that ended it all in 2003, which I saw in the theater two times, by the way. I think that was the only time I've ever been to the theater twice to see the same movie. The Wachowskis said there were going to be no more Matrices, right? So they turned the reins over to a video game called Matrix Online. And apparently they killed Morpheus. So I found this article. I'm going to read you from it. Our films were never intended for a passive audience, said the Wachowskis in a 2005 interview with IGN. We wanted our audience to have to work, to have to think, to have to actually participate in order to enjoy them. Which is probably why I like the film so much. There's so much to take in here. The fact that the Matrix films are three of the most successful adult films in history suggests that there are other people like us. Those are the people who thought about it, who worked at it, who we ultimately made the trilogy for, and it now makes perfect sense to us that they should inherit the storyline. And then they talk about how they pass it on to some people that made a video game. And then it says, in the events of The Matrix Online, which took place after the end of Matrix Revolutions, Morpheus returned to the Matrix to consult the Oracle as to why, despite the apparent truce between the machines and the humans, the machine had not yet returned Neo's remains to Zion. Morpheus, along with a number of players who chose to join his faction, set about trying to reconstruct Neo's residual self-image, his digitally generated avatar within the Matrix, as a way of hopefully resurrecting him. Frustrated by his failure to do so, Morpheus began demanding the machines to return Neo's body. With no other options, Morpheus then began detonating code bombs across the Matrix, compromising the integrity of the simulation as a whole as a way of forcing the machines to comply with his demand. After setting off one of the code bombs, Morpheus was ambushed by the Assassin, a program created by the machines, and killed. Some players at the time theorized that Morpheus might have faked his death and gone into hiding, but this theory remained unsolved at the time of the Matrix Online's cancellation in 2009. Whew. It could be that they are, in fact, following the video game line, because you see the machines in the trailer on the split on the at the beginning with their flashing things. You see them doing some kind of work on Neo with his eye sockets, right? All right, back to the trailer. We're almost done. Hang in there. So they walk through the looking glass, the mirror. We're talking about Neo and the new, I don't know, Matrix buddies. And this is, again, reference to the portal to the dimensions. And another example in pop culture where you see this idea in the film Under the Skin that I covered in my second Alien book, Use Your Illusion 2. Scarlet looks in the mirror and begins to know thyself. That's what happens in the movie. It's symbolic of the transformation and the entrance to the new realm, just like Alice in Wonderland, through the looking glass. Do you get it? I know you do. And speaking of Alice, if you've seen a movie called Eyes Wide Shut with a character named Alice Harford, she does the same thing. She's symbolically looking into the mirror while she's making love to the Tom Cruise, probably the greatest lovemaker of all time, Tom Cruise. I'm going to guess. Then the trailer's basically over. Initiate a bunch of badass action sequences, and we find out it's dropping on December 22nd. The Christmas blockbuster. The greatest film of 2021. And Terraformer was correct on the Instagram. This is the solstice. It said Christmas, but then at the end it said December 22nd specifically, which is important to the occultist, right? Because they practice this Babylonian stargazing astrology thing, right? And you can see this in, I believe it's Zeitgeist talks about it. Bill Cooper talks about it in his Mystery Babylon series. There's this whole obsession they have with the death and resurrection rituals. The sun goes down to the south Capricorn something, Sea of Capricorn, and it stays down there for 3 days, stationary, dead, December 22nd, 3rd, and 4th. Then it starts coming back up towards the north. It's being resurrected, bringing life back to the northern hemisphere. Talking about the cradle of civilization is where they came up with this stuff. The sun dies on the cross, on the southern cross, which is what this is all about. This whole Matrix movie, in conclusion, the Matrix has a lot of Gnostic connections. It has a lot of connections to Christ. There's all these spiritual elements that sort of hash out with it. And it sort of uses everything, kind of throws it in a blender and mixes it up. It's like a bit of simulation theory. It's a bit of Illuminati fantasy of where they want to take us to put us all in the Matrix, the digital Matrix. Avatars. Talk about quarantining at home. My God, they're going to strap the helmets on and we're going to live in a digital environment. And not to pat my own back or toot my own horn, but beep, beep. My first book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, written back in 2012, I talked about this. I warned this is where they wanted to take us. And at the time, there was a film called Surrogates with Bruce Willis, and I said, this is exactly what they want. Everyone stays in their home, you strap on a helmet, you live inside the Matrix. Imagine if the phone, think how powerful that phone is. And you see Neo in the elevator with all the mouth breathers on their phone. They're trapped in the phone. Imagine if that phone could be a more immersive experience. How powerful that would be. That's what they want. They want to take our humanity and evolve us into the next thing, the transhumanism. That's what they want. So, yeah, that's the trailer. I took a 3-minute trailer and made a 30-minute show for you because I wanted to explain all these things. Again, go to my Instagram, at IsaacWatchOutLangus, link in the show notes, and you can see all these images I'm talking about and watch my reaction video. But the real question to me is if I'm going to return to the movie theaters to watch this or just watch it at home on the HBO because I got the HBO, baby. And I'll tell you what. Most of you, we've all lived in a pre and post 2020 world. There's something real nice about staying home to watch new movies. I know, it hurts to say that. And I don't want to see movie theaters go away. There's something nice about a communal event in a movie theater, which is what I think. Like, I'm like, man, I really want to see this on the big screen. A throwback to 2019, the last time I've been to a movie. But man, if it's going to be on HBO, that's a tough choice, my friends. In all honesty, I'll probably go see Halloween Kills in the movie theater next month. Because I don't think that's being offered online. So I'm probably going to watch that in the theater. That'll be my grand re-entrance to the movies. Where I can take notes on my phone and have people yell at me for being on my phone. Because they think I'm a dumb millennial. No, I'm a dumb Gen Xer. Sorry, bud. Anyway, that's it. That's the whole trailer. Hope you like it. Check out all the links and go to my Instagram. And until next time, stay woke.